listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, Michael Regei with you for the rest of this hour here today. And wanted to let you know you can shop the biggest selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the Team Shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. Joining us now on the hotline from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. And Deke, hope you had a good Easter. How you doing today?
Doing fine. Enjoying finally getting some good weather.
That's right, finally getting some sun out there. It looks reasonable to be outside, which is a nice change for us. Speaking of things heating up in Cleveland, draft season certainly heating up, and we talked with George O'Leary earlier today about Blake Bortles from University of Central Florida. Doug, Blake Bortles to you, I know he's got the prototypical size, because everybody who talks about it, that's the first thing they say. He's got the size. He looks like a quarterback. What are your impressions of Blake Bortles, and do you think he would be a guy to take at number four for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, you know, I think coming of the quarterbacks, I liked him the best in regards because of the size factor, and he kind of reminds you of the guy over in Pittsburgh. But with that said, you know, they also say that, you know, he's got a lot of learning to do. And, you know, we've become a pretty much impatient town right now in regards to getting this thing turned around. But we do, you know, have Brian Hoyer. So, you know, it could be a good fit. You know, it's amazing how his name has kind of gone up, and some of the other names like Teddy Bridgewater have gone down.
Deke, with that in mind and the way Ray Farmer conducted business in getting those 28 to 32-year-old veteran, still quality free agents in here that have come from winning organizations like Dansby and Whitner and Burleson, does that lead you to believe, though, that there might not be the urgency for the Browns to take a quarterback at four, having to play him in a year when it seems like they want to win football games?
Well, I don't think, you know, really there's probably any of the quarterbacks maybe that deserve to be four for the most part. With that said, you know, there's other needs on this football team that you can improve it. And, you know, it's getting the best collection of players and getting them to play together as a team. It's not always just the one individual. Yet a quarterback is it's a quarterback-driven league, but you don't want to take a lemon, you know, with the fourth pick. So, And I, you know, that's sometimes when you force it, that's what happens to you.
Right.
And that is what happens. You don't want to force it. You're exactly right. So let me ask you this. Right now, who would be your top choice for the Browns at number four of a realistic option?
Well, I kind of like, you know, like Sammy Watkins. I just think that, you know, this, we talked about being a passing league now, and to have, you know, him opposite of Josh Gordon, and it also gives you a safety net in case, you know, something would go wrong with Josh. And, you know, hopefully that's not going to happen, but we all know what those things are in regards to,
sure. You
know, Josh. So I think, you know, he would be one, and, you know, the tackles, you know, you never get enough good tackles.
Doug Deacon, you hear him as the longtime radio color analyst with Jim Donovan in the booth right here in the PNC Bank Browns Radio Network during the season. Deke, you just mentioned it, and with that's why I wanted to ask you next. With Kyle Shanahan and Mike Pettine showing and certainly indicating that they want to have a power run game and be strong up the middle, strong defensively, would it be a great surprise if a Greg Robinson, a Jake Matthews are sitting there? I wouldn't be shocked if they pulled the trigger in that direction. Would you?
No, I think because, you know, what you're looking for is somebody that's going to, you're going to be able to plug in for, you know, 10, 12 years and give you a high level of play. And, you know, the other, you know, part of it is, you know, when you get to number four, you know, you're going to hear some offers from other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And if you drop down in a couple slots and still get one of those tackles, that's not the worst thing that can happen to you.
I agree with you, and I want to ask you specifically about these two tackles. First of all, which one is your favorite between Matthews and Robinson?
Well, I've got to go with Matthews. Just the family genes are one that, you know, I think is a little special. And, you know, we missed on Clay Jr. a few years back, but maybe we can get somebody from the other side of the family.
As I've heard a lot about Greg Robinson, unbelievable run blocker, but hasn't really been in pass protection. They worry about his ability to maybe make that transition in the short term. Long term, people aren't that worried about it. But do you think if you take a Greg Robinson, maybe you bring him in, put him at guard for a little while, and then end up moving him outside?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that a lot of teams like to do. I mean, get you used to the speed of the game, the size of the game, and the strength of the game, because it's a totally different world than, you know, in college where you can just, you know, grab a guy and dominate him. Where, you know, in the pro game, although, you know, the left tackle, you know, you usually get the better pass rusher over there, but teams are, you know, loading up. I mean, we saw it last year with Doomerville. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, all of a sudden they put him on the other side, and, you know, there's a little bit of a problem. So I think, you know, to have the bookend tackles would, you know, be a great thing. But I'm not going to sell out on Mitchell Schwartz yet. I still think, you know, there's a good upside to him.
I'm with you, Deke. Agreed. Doug Deacon joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Deke, the zone read run game that is going to be employed by Kyle Shanahan, and what that requires in terms of the zone blocking technique. Do you believe the Browns offensive line has the capabilities? It requires a little bit more, you know, getting out on the edge a bit behind a one-cut runner. But what are your thoughts on it, and do you believe that they'll adapt to it readily?
Well, I think the thing, we've got to get maybe a little bit more athletic at the guard position. And it probably doesn't have to be both, but at least one of them. Because, you know, you're going to be moving on your feet, and, you know, you just can't have lead feet. So, you know, with that said, I think, you know, that somewhere in the draft you got to pick up a guard that has some athletic ability. I think, you know, on the other hand, you know, we're talking about going to the draft, but we've got a couple, you know, raw, you know, projects, you know, still in the on the team. And, you know, Garrett Gilkey is a guy that, you know, came from Chatterton State. He needs some seasoning, but he's pretty athletic and bends his knees pretty well for a big guy. And then you got Chris Falk, you know, out of LSU, who had the knee problem, that, you know, he could be a surprise for a lot of people this year too. So I think, you know, when you look at the draft, you also know that, you know, you've got something maybe in your back pocket that, you know, if you polish it up, it could be pretty good.
Yeah, Chris Falk's a guy I've actually heard a lot of people talk about as being somebody who could come in and make an impact after missing last year with that injury. Doug, today Merrill Hodge on ESPN said he would take Khalil Mack over Jadeveon Clowney in a heartbeat and called Clowney's fundamentals, quote, atrocious, and said he is not that good of a football player. How do you respond? What do you think of those comments from Merrill Hodge? And I am starting to hear a lot of steam, though, on Khalil Mack maybe being the number one overall pick to Houston.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're hearing, you know, everybody's name is kind of a rotation system there.
Sure.
But, you know, I think, you know, the thing is, you got to get a football player. You can't get a guy that, you know, has, you know, just great measurements and things like that, where he runs a fast 40 or he benches X amount of times. I mean, we saw what Tony Mandridge benched when he came out of college, and look how long he lasted. He, you know, if he was playing tennis, he couldn't hit the ball back. So you need you know, football players, not just guys that are, you know, weights and measurements. And you know, Clowney is, you know, has got some impressive numbers. But there's also some red flags, I think, if you look at him. I haven't seen Mack, but, you know, everybody seems to talk that, you know, he could be a surefire, you know, edge rusher off the that, you know, could really excel at this, you know, this level.
Yeah, Doug, he does seem to have the capabilities to do so. We'll find out when he gets in the National Football League. Doug Deacon, our guest. Deke, we alluded to the way the Browns want to proceed philosophically. Last time we saw this really was with Eric Mangini's football teams, and of course he brought in all the old guard from his New York Jets days, and it really didn't materialize. Do you believe the way that the Browns want to play football and how they're stylizing their organization right now, can it take hold right away, and can they get to where Pittsburgh and Baltimore are and even Cincinnati in the division?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, there's a lot of good core players here. I mean, we've talked about Joe Thomas and Alex Mack. You know, those are Pro Bowlers. Then you throw in, you know, at the skill position, you've got Jordan Cameron, obviously Josh Gordon. On the defensive side, you know, you got Joe Hayden, and you've got some, you know, Dansby. You talked about Whitner.
Yep.
You've got some good core players. But, you know, the bottom line is it's still a draft and develop league. And I think, you know, we look at Pittsburgh and the way they've done it. They've never been big in free agency, but
right,
they've drafted and developed. And they develop people for their style. And I think, you know, Mike Pettine is going to put a stamp on what style of football player, you know, he has. And if you can keep the continuity together for a period of time and draft for that, then you got a shot. But, you know, every time, you know, you change a coach and you change a philosophy, then you go take a step back before you can get two steps forward. And, you know, Mangini, in some ways, you know, had an idea that, you know, he was going to bring people in to teach his way of playing.
Mm-hmm.
But what killed him was his draft.
That's right.
And, you know, you start drafting the Robiskis and the Massaquas in the second round and mm-hmm. get nothing out of them for the most part. You know, that's tough on your organization.
And Vaikune, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
That was a very, very tough draft.
You know, I always said, guys, that, you know, Eric Mangini, the general manager, did Eric Mangini, the head football coach, no favors that abomination of a second round. And Doug, quite frankly, you know, we felt the effects here because of it. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you miss like that with three picks in the top to the middle of the second round, it reverberates for the next 3 to 5 years.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we go back to you can go back in history. I mean, you know, probably one of the best drafts we had was when we got Ozzie and Clay in the two first-round picks in 78.
Right.
But then, we turn around and we take Johnny Evans, and Johnny was a great punter, but you don't take punters in the second round.
That's right. No, you do not. May that not happen again.
Touché.
Doug, great stuff. Appreciate you stopping by with us.
Okay. We'll talk to you guys.
Thanks,
all right.
Deke.
Now, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network.
Good. Leave it to Deke. He's only a quick
punter. Quip. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, quick quip.
Speaking of people with a little quick quip and then
right.
Some. That's right. Big Hair Mel Kiper. He is a guy who likes to talk about the draft. He's going to break down his latest mock draft. We're going to hear from him about Jadeveon Clowney, Johnny Manziel, Teddy Bridgewater, and more when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns.
Yeah, I can turn this thing.